It's our favourite time of the year, and this holiday season we're celebrating Christ at the centre of it all with Christmas at Empower.
Christmas is just around the corner, 25 days and counting. Best time of the year, wonderful time of the year, but also a very busy time of the year. We've got end of year school concerts and award nights. We've got work parties, we've got cooking and baking and planning and decorating and shopping. Just trying to help out anxiety levels this morning. Just reminding everybody of the list, the December list. Who knows, it can become an absolute whirlwind of activity. And none of those things in and of themselves are, of course, wrong. It's all part and parcel of family coming together and connecting. But if we're not careful, we can get so busy with the season that we forget the reason. How sad would it be to become so busy with Christmas that we forget about Christ? What a self-defeating deal that would be. So this year, we want to make sure that in the midst of the shopping and the baking and the planning, that we prepare our hearts and that we linger over the Word of God and we really bring sacredness and celebration to this amazing time of the year. We're going to be looking at four Advent themes of Jesus' life and ministry and of the Christmas season, those being hope, peace, joy, and love. And as we highlight these themes that take place in the original nativity story, we can be encouraged that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if that's who he was then we can be encouraged he wants to do the same thing in our lives now. A bit of extra hope, peace, joy, and love. Who knows, that's going to really improve Christmas. All right, here we go. 400 years. 400 years. If we were to hit rewind on 400 years, according to our present history, we'd find ourselves in the December of 1619. 400 years. Who knows, that's quite a long time. If we were to add up all of the ages in this room, we would be starting to get close to covering that time span. Meaning if we were to stretch out our lives from end to end, where I end, then you start, and then when you end, the person sitting next to you starts, we'd be getting close to covering 400 years. That's a long time. Imagine waiting that long for something. I've had to do some waiting in my time. I've had to wait in line. I've had to wait on hold. Good old Telstra. I've had to wait on an email. I've had to wait on an answer. But I've never had to wait for 400 years. But Israel did. What we understand to be the intertestamental period. It's a fancy term that basically describes the period of time between the last book of the Old Testament and the prophecies that began to come out of John the Baptist in the Gospel, where he was saying, make straight paths for the Lord. That's a period of time of 400 years. Some things are worth the wait. I reckon if you were to ask John and Thea this morning about how they feel about Bubby Eva Marie this morning, they'll tell you that 9 months is worth the wait. Isn't she gorgeous? Latest member of Empower Church. I'm loving that. Church growth one way or another, even if we've got to breed them in Jesus' name. It takes time to have a baby. It takes time to plan and build a house. It takes years to graduate from a degree. It takes decades to build a marriage and raise a family. It takes a lifetime to leave a legacy. some things are worth the wait. But 400 years, oh my gosh, what was God doing? In the silence, what was he saying? In the delay, what was he doing? In the waiting, how was God working? Because we know he had to be doing something because he's a good God. He's kind. We know that he's wise. We know that he's righteous. We know that there is something happening in the seasons of silence. And there are times in our life where when we're waiting, it might seem terribly time inefficient on our end. Okay, God, I'm ready. Can we get with the program, please? I've heard it said before that God is never late, but gee, he misses some opportunities to be early. Not sure if you can relate with that. But there must be something else going on that we're not seeing. Israel must have been so frustrated. 400 years, generation after generation after generation. There must have been some testing of hope in the holdup. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." We know that God was up to something because his plans are plans to give us a hope. He wants to grant us hope. But sometimes there is a holdup on what we're hoping for. What is hope? How would we define hope this morning? Hope is a vision for better days. And it's a vision for better days that actually is meant to change our present. There's something that's up ahead. It's around the corner. It's in sight. It's good. But that good future isn't just abstract. It actually reaches in and transforms us in our present. That's the purpose of hope. For example, if I'm hoping for an A in my class, that hope, or at least it should, motivate us to do some study. The hope changes our present reality. If I'm hoping for a raise, then perhaps I'll show up to work on time and work harder. If I want peace in my household, then stopping shouting at my kids is probably a good place to start. What I'm hoping for transforms my present behavior. As a child, we all know well what it's like to have hope at this time of the year. In the lead up to Christmas Day, we know that toys are on the way, gifts are on the way. And isn't it miraculous how the behavior tends to straighten up at this time of the year? Because you'd better not pout. You'd better not cry. You'd better not shout, "I'm telling you why. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake." Hope is a vision for better days that changes us in the present. But what about when there's a holdup on what we're hoping for? Because we also know that the Proverbs say that hope deferred can make the heart sick. So what happens when there's a delay on our desire? When what we are longing for is laid up and it's somewhere just out of reach. Clearly, that was the case for Israel. 400 years. But maybe God saw something that Israel didn't. Maybe God permitted the pause in that nation, just as he permits the pause in our lives, because he sees something from his divine perspective that we presently are not seeing. You see, God's promise to Israel wasn't just about Israel's hope. God's promise to Israel was about a hope for the whole world. Romans 15, and again, Isaiah the prophet says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is a New Testament verse that's quoting an Old Testament prophecy, which we understand there was 613 laws and 425 prophetic promises describing what Jesus would do when he came. This is one of them. It's a Israeli prophecy. The root of Jesse will spring up. That's a specific Israelite family line. But hang on a second. Here we see the prophet saying that this king of Israel wasn't just going to rule over Israel. He was going to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. The root of Jesse, the Messiah, would rule not just over Israel, but over everyone, over the outsiders, over the pagans, over the idol worshippers. Yes, even those people, the motley crew, you and I included in, even though we weren't born into Israel, yet we are accepted by grace. The Bible describes people just like you and me this way before Christ. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Who knows, that's not a pretty position to find oneself in. But here we see a promise for Israel that wasn't just about a hope for Israel, it was about a hope for everybody. And maybe the lesson for Israel and the lesson for us is this: the reason that our hope is taking longer than we expected is because it's bigger than we envisaged. Maybe the reason our hope is taking longer than we expected is because it's bigger than we envisaged. For 400 years, Israel was just thinking about Israel. When is the Messiah going to come and deliver us from the oppressive Romans? But what Israel didn't understand is that during those four centuries of waiting for that future hope, God was permitting Alexander the Great to come in and conquer the known world at the time, so that everyone in that region would learn Greek, everybody would be speaking the same language, and then God would permit the Roman Empire to come through and conquer the known world and build Roman roads so that there would be the necessary infrastructure for messengers to get from city to city quickly. Are we seeing that the Lord was laying a foundation? He was setting the scene. He was painting the canvas, the backdrop for which in the fullness of time his son would come. And the very thing that the Jews were trying to get rid of, the Gentile Romans, they were actually the means to bring to Israel, to bring to Jesus, the international audience needed so that in the fullness of time, now with angel choirs and starry announcements and shepherds and wise men and prophecies fulfilled, and the whole stage has been set for Jesus. Father God was bringing not just hope to a nation, but the hope of nations. Not just the King of Israel, but the King of the world. Maybe the reason for the holdup on our hope is that God is actually doing exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. And so it's taking a bit of time. In Jesus, God was doing something bigger, not just for a single nation, but for nations. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. In Jesus, God was doing something not just in fulfillment of those 400 years, but rather something for all of human history. O little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Not just in that 400 years, but all the years would be impacted by Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the time of the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yes, there might be some waiting. Yes, there might be some hardship. Yes, there might be some trials. But what God is going to do with our life, what God is going to do with our eternity, is well worth the waiting. Psalm 33, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our shield and our help. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Some promises are worth the wait. Some hopes are worth the holdup. Some miracles are made even more meaningful because of the delay. Jesus, our salvation. Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our good shepherd. Jesus, our deliverer. Jesus, our hope. He was worth the wait. He not only fulfilled all of those prophetic promises, he also exceeded all expectations. Only God can do that in the process of fulfilling 425 messianic prophecies. He even does more than we could possibly anticipate it. Only God is that good at what he does, when he does it, how he does it. I want to encourage us this morning. Don't despair this morning. Don't be downcast today. Don't lose your hope today. We serve a God who takes even what the enemy means for our evil and is able to turn it for good. And of course, I'm not suggesting that it's easy. I'm not suggesting that it's straightforward. I'm not suggesting at times that there aren't hang-ups and hold-ups and bang-ups and setbacks, and that it's anything less than heartbreaking at times. But what I am saying is this, that even in the midst of the waiting, we have power over our choice and we have power over our responses. We have power over where we're going to set our focus in the midst of the frustration. Look at the Psalms and what David illustrated and exampled for us. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In the midst of the hang-ups and hold-ups and bang-ups and setbacks, we can still praise. We can still worship. We can still honor him. We can still fix our eyes on Jesus. Yes, my soul, talking to myself, talking to my mind, my will, my emotions, talking to my thought life, talking to where I'm setting my imaginations. Come on, Luke, set your hope in God. Come on, don't be discouraged. Come on, don't fix your eyes on that Goliath, on that mountain, on that setback, on that struggle. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We need to learn to preach to ourselves. We've got to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because as we do so, we'll find rest in God, for our hope comes from him. And this hope will be an anchor for our soul. How many people, you see their soul, you see their mind, their will and emotions dancing around all over the place, up and down and in and out, and all dependent upon circumstances and how things are going in my life externally, and they're bouncing around like a pinball machine. That's no way to live our life. We can instead have a hope that anchors us to Jesus, anchors our soul in a place of steadiness. Even in the ups and downs, I'm able to choose to praise my God. I'm able to worship in the waiting. I'm able to bless Him even in those times of trial. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Be encouraged this morning. Hope in God will never be disappointed. Do not be afraid. You'll not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Isaiah 54, Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Setting our hopes on God is the most sure and safe place in which we can invest that trusted capacity of our heart. Biblical hope is not only a desire for something good to happen for the future, it's also the active holding on to the only one who can make it happen. Biblical hope is not only a desire for something good for the future, it's also the active holding on to the only one who can make it happen. Because biblical hope is not about what is possible with man. Biblical hope is trusting in the impossible promises of God. It's only God that can heal me. It's only God that can get me to heaven. It's only God that can change my loved one's heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. It's only God that can help me to get through this Red Sea that is set before me, this giant that's mocking me, this wilderness, this dryness that's set before me. It's only God that can shepherd me and lead me through all of that safely. Biblical hope is setting your hope on the one that can get you through. When you find yourself in that space, facing impossibilities, you are finding yourself in the territory where biblical hope comes alive and matters the most. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we learn to set our hearts on Him, we will not be disappointed. Because He's the desire of the nations. He's altogether lovely. He's the lover of our soul. He's the bread of life. He's everything that we could ever need and more. What do we do when we feel forgotten? When we're sick of waiting? When the silence is deafening? When the miracle isn't instant? What do we do? We need to keep in mind that verse that I read out earlier. That out of the stump of David's family line would grow a shoot. Think about the impossibility of that picture. A new branch bearing fruit from an old dead stump. God can take even the very deadest of dead stumps and make life grow from it once again. I wonder if we've ever felt like we're facing a dead end, where a situation is so impossible, where circumstances are so bleak that it seems like there is no way forward. The scripture speaks to us of the dead stumps in our lives, telling us that God is able to take those dead stumps and cause something miraculous to grow, a new miraculous flow of life, a shoot called hope, a shoot called Jesus that comes running for each and every one of us out of the deadness of our broken and cut down dreams in order to gather us to the Father. This miracle child that was promised and sent to unlock our future, His name is Jesus. This same Jesus that wraps His arms around us like a vine of hope and speaks to the barrenness in our lives and says, live again. Christmas is all about his coming, how he came to us in Bethlehem all those years ago, and how he still to this day comes to us again and again and again and again. Jesus Christ, our living hope. Can we pray in this place this morning?
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.